The Burt Show.
Today is Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Do you know what that means?
Oh, don't you know what that means?
No, please. Tell me.
Please, tell me.
It means it's workout.
Wednesday.
Let's work it out.
Wednesday.
Work out Wednesday.
Work it out.
Wednesday.
Soon and early morning workout.
When is this happening?
And when is this happening?
Let's do it now.
Nope.
Nope.
I'm going back to bed.
I'm going back to bed.
Oh, well, the show must go on.
Oh, how's everybody doing today? How's that wild birthday you had yesterday, Kristen?
It was good. My boys took me out to dinner last night. It was very sweet.
Aww. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, again, when your birthday's in the middle of the week, you still got to work. You still got stuff to do. So, had some meetings. I did do yoga. They were very sweet at Yonder. They had a little sign in the front that said, "Happy birthday, Kristen."
Awesome.
And my yogi Maggie gave me a shout out. And then we ended up going to Little Alley Steak last night for a really nice dinner.
Oh. That's a good one right there.
I love that place.
That's real good.
Dude, shout out to Shane. He was a phenomenal server. Like, the food is excellent, but the service is just top notch there. And he really went above and beyond, especially with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because it was a 5:30 reservations. So, we're going early, so we're not disturbing people with a kid later in the evening, because we're trying to be, thoughtful parents.
Sure.
But Jimmy, for the most part, is very well behaved. Like, he's sitting there and he's laughing, and he's a joyful kid. He's loud in a joyful way, but he's not like a screaming kid,
he's
right?
He's not the kid running around in the restaurant.
No.
The parents just don't care.
No. But funnily enough, Shane has twin boys. This happens every time. I learned way too much about people that I have no business knowing this much about. But he has twin boys who just turned 17. And he was looking at Jimmy, and Jimmy was wearing a shirt that his boys wore at Jimmy's age.
Aww.
Sure enough, found it on his phone and showed it to me. So there's his little boys wearing the cutest little like white polo shirt, and have like the same hair color, the same haircut. I mean, literally, I'm like, no wonder you were looking at Jimmy kind of like, oh, it just reminded him of his boys when they were little.
It wasn't that little t-shirt that I've seen him wear that says F the police on it.
That must be somebody else you're thinking of.
Great shirts, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, my sister-in-law is a police officer. I don't know if that would go over well in the fam, ma'am.
Is that the place that we went with Tommy and like you were blown away by the mac and cheese at that place? Was that it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm blown away by the mac and cheese at most places.
Okay. All right. Could have said that about any restaurant.
Guess what? That's what Jimmy had last night.
All right, Abby. So there you are, stuck with customer service in a really weird place.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
I've been stuck in customer service hell with AT&T. I don't have Wi-Fi. I don't have a working phone. And I just want someone to fix it. And unfortunately, not only was I dealing with customer service hell, I was dealing with a woman who thought I was trying to steal her boyfriend. So last week, my phone just started crapping out, and on top of that, I don't have Wi-Fi at my apartment, so I'm like, you know what? It's probably time to take a little trip on down to the AT&T store to try and get some stuff figured out. But if you've never been to an AT&T store for any kind of customer service problem, it is the worst set. It is worse than having to wait in line at Disney. Because at the very least, when you're waiting in line for 2 hours at Disney, you're with your friends, you're about to get on a fun ride. Maybe you just had a little ice cream treat. It's a good day. It might be a little hot out, but whatever. Like, you got your fan. When you are waiting in line at the AT&T store, you are in corporate purgatory. You're walking in, the walls are white. You start to feel a little crazy. The carpet's blue. And there's only one guy, age 25, just trying to do his job, but he hates his job. He doesn't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
And everybody in that line is going there for something that's gone wrong. So the energy is all negative in that one line also. And then you got that poor guy you're talking about, that his job is to wake up in the morning and take crap all day.
The feng shui is off. But I walk in and I try to have a good attitude, because I have a very easy problem. I just need a new phone. And when you think, oh, I just need a new phone, all I'm thinking is going to happen is I'm going to purchase this new phone. I'm going to leave the store with a new phone. Might have to sit here for a little bit for its update, but that's going to be the easiest thing. No, absolutely not. I finally get to the front of the line an hour later, and he looks at my phone and he goes, "Well, your screen's cracked, so if you want to go fix your screen, I can give you $500 more for an upgrade. Otherwise, you got to pay it out of pocket."
Wow.
So then I go, "Okay, thanks for the tip. Yep. I'm going to go leave and get that fixed. I'm going to come back."
They can't fix it there.
No, they can't fix it there. You have to go to U-Break iFix.
So you would think that they would put those stores like either right next to an AT&T or any one of those providers, or like attach it to the back of the store or something.
No, why would they do that? Because they it's very kind. He gave you that heads up. But at the same time, they don't want you to do it, so they're not going to make it easier for you to do it.
But if you are going to give me the heads up, then fix it.
Yeah. Or if I'm a company, like, what's it called? You fix it?
You break, I fix.
You just put them right next to those stores.
Now that would be smart on their behalf.
So anyway, I bounce over there. That's another 2 hours of me sitting in that store with a very simple solution while you're waiting behind 10 other people. And I'm like, I just need to pick up a phone. I can see it. It's right there. So they finally pick up the phone and they come back. And what happens at the AT&T store is, even though I was just here 2 hours ago, you're at the back of the line again. Mm. So now it's 3 p.m. People are starting to get off of work and there's still one guy and there's like 15 people in front of me. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like, you have got to be. I just need to buy a new phone. It'll take me 5 seconds. I'm sure all these people have problems that are going to like take 20 minutes each. And I just need to buy a new phone. I'm like, take my money. So I'm already in this bad headspace of like not wanting to be here. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to knock it out this one day. It'll be fine. So the thing about the AT&T store is they don't have like a bunch of seating. So like there's 15 of us, but there's one table that you can sit at. And then there's one table that you could stand at. And then there's a bench in the back. All these seats are taken. So now I've got to shuffle my way to just lean up against the wall. But I'm kind of like in like this weird proximity to the one table where there's chairs and it's a couple sitting there. It's probably a couple, maybe a couple years younger than me. It's a guy and then a girl. And they're both sitting there with their phones working on something. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to try and not make weird eye contact. And I'm going to twiddle my thumbs on my phone. Well, this girl seemed to think that my presence was a threat because the death glare she gave me when I stood behind their table was so unnerving. I'm like, am I about to brawl in the AT&T store in Sandy Springs? And the first thing she does, so she looks at me, kind of gives me this death glare, looks at her boyfriend, does one of those little fake laugh things, and looks back at me, and then puts her hand on his upper thigh and just has like a death grip on it.
Oh, she's claiming her territory.
She's claiming her territory. And of course I'm clocking this because I'm literally right like behind them. I'm looking at them. I'm like, I'm deeply uncomfortable now because I'm not trying to like be a homewrecker at the AT&T store. I'm just trying to get someone to unwreck my phone.
Did you even talk to the dude?
No.
It wasn't even a word.
I'm not even looking at them. I'm just looking at, I'm trying to look at my phone to like distract myself, but my phone is dead. So I can't, I'm just like staring at the carpet. I'm like, I don't know where to look, because if I look up, I'll make eye contact with them. But if I look at the floor, then I look like I'm about to like do something shady. So I'm just kind of like looking at the wall of iPhones to my left, just trying to distract myself. But again, I got to be here for an hour. So of course, like naturally your head's going to tilt. And I swear on my life, you guys, every time I like sort of move my head any bit to the right to where they are, she's just there giving me the death glare. And I'm like, you can keep your man. It's like, I'm sure we're both not happy to be here.
I mean, I think it's a compliment because in her mind, you were a threat. Mm-hmm. So that means aesthetically, that's a good thing for you right there.
Aesthetically,
and secondly, that's not about you, man. That's about her and her insecurities and who knows where she's coming from.
100%. So did I leave with a boyfriend or a new phone at the AT&T store? No. Neither. So I got to go back.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I have some very exciting news for people who also hate reality TV, because our show that we love to hate, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, is coming out with a reunion next week. It comes out on Tuesday. We're going to get to see the season 2 reunion of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu and Disney Plus. It's being hosted by The Bachelor's Nick Viall, which is a big step for him. How you go from being The Bachelor to now hosting the reunion for one of the biggest reality shows on TV right now.
I don't know if he can control this crowd, because this is really all they have. Yeah, they had that TikTok thing going on where they were making some money, but now arguing and fighting with each other is their job. So for this guy to step in there and try to moderate everybody going at each other, and they go at each other, is an impossible task.
Oh no, he needs to hit up Andy Cohen, because Andy Cohen's been doing reunions for years with some crazy housewives. And I mean, Andy's been pushed, like Teresa pushed him once and like pushed him back into his chair. So I feel like if Nick can reach out to Andy and get hot tips from Andy, hopefully he'll be fine.
Maybe the producers picked a guy that can't moderate it properly, knowing that there are going to be fights. They're like, put this guy in here. He's not going to be able to control it.
I don't know. If there's anybody that can handle a bunch of cat fights with random women on reality TV, maybe it is a former bachelor. Yeah. Maybe they did recruit the right person. So I'm very excited to see that comes out next week on Tuesday. Some other news that was pretty jaw-dropping yesterday was the fact that Justin Baldoni has officially dropped his $400 million countersuit against Blake Lively and her husband, Ryan Reynolds. So a couple weeks ago, a judge had dismissed his defamation defamation and extortion claims, basically saying you cannot say something that's in a lawsuit is defamation because any speech that is included in a lawsuit is protected speech. So you can't sue someone over that. The extortion thing, I still feel like he'd be able to sue over, but you know, whatever. Maybe Blake Lively paid off the judge, but I don't know. Blake Lively had the option to, or Justin Baldoni had the option to refile a smaller version of the lawsuit that had, that could include defamatory claims that were not included in her lawsuit because that would not be protected speech. The deadline was yesterday, June 23rd, but his team decided to not go that route. Instead, they are, quote, pivoting to other legal options.
So she's still suing him, though, for what again?
She is suing him for retaliation and sexual harassment. So basically, she's like, you retaliated against me because I brought up all these sexual harassment claims while we were filming It Ends With Us last year.
So he's that's still going to go to court next March, like it was supposed to. And then I'm assuming instead of doing a countersuit, he's just going to focus on that and proving his innocence.
I think so, because at the end of the day, like, did you really need the did you need the lawsuit against them if you're going to win the one where you're like, yeah, I didn't, there was no sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. So they must feel really confident that they can win that, because otherwise I definitely think they would have countersued, yeah. But we won't know until the trial heads to court on March 2026. I'm very excited to see what happens.
So in theory, he's bowing out?
No, he's not bowing out because he still has to fight
He has to defend himself.
He has to defend himself.
But he's not going after anything.
No, but I mean, if he wins that case, then you really don't even need, I mean, then the $400 million really is a moot point, because then you'll be able to prove your innocence and hopefully you won't have any loss of income because people are still going to want to work with you. So fingers crossed for Justin Baldoni. If he is in the innocence, which I kind of believe that he is.
You definitely are on a side now.
Everyone's like, you're so biased. I'm like, how could you not be? Her best friend doesn't even side with her. Taylor Swift is out in Nashville right now performing at Jason Aldean's, and she's not said anything about her best friend. Doesn't that say anything to you? Whatever. Okay, the last thing I want to touch on is Tom Sandoval, who recently auditioned on America's Got Talent. So Tom Sandoval, if you don't know who he is, he's a part of the Scandoval from Vanderpump Rules, where he was with Ariana Maddox for like 10 years, and then he cheated on her with one of the other cast members, and it was a huge, as we say, Scandoval. So he decided to try and redeem his name by performing the AHA classic Take On Me on America's Got Talent. It wasn't too bad. It just sounded like every other cover band you've ever heard ever. And people were like, oh, I wonder if they're going to like push him through. Like, I wonder if he is going to compete on America's Got Talent. And finally, we have the results. He is not moving on.
Yeah.
Shocker.
But you know what?
I'm not sure how to feel about it.
Yeah, I know. Mixed emotions, but he overcame his fear of performance. I don't know. Whatever. Yep. Go Tom Sandoval.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez aren't asking for traditional wedding gifts, but they are asking for money. It has everything to do with the citizens of Venice on your next E-Buzz and the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It really is sort of getting a little bit concerning and infuriating as well, because, you know, I'm in the algorithm of AI. I really believe this is our future. I've told my kids, like, you have really got to focus on AI. This is where the world is going. Fear it, but also understand it. And now you just can't tell sometimes when you are online what is real and what is AI anymore. It's that sophisticated. And you got to remember, we're still in the infant stages of this whole thing.
It's so funny you say that, because yesterday I was on Instagram and I came across a profile, and I was looking at it and I'm like, is this real? And then I went and I went to the profile, and then I started looking at the videos and I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
And then I kept going, and then it got like a little more ridiculous, and you could watch, like, if you watch the video like hard enough, you could see like a couple of mistakes, and I'm like, oh my God, this entire profile is an AI profile. Nothing about it is real.
I always feel like an idiot when I embed myself in the video and get so caught up, and then go to the comments and they're like, okay, y'all is foolish. Y'all don't know this is AI.
And the answer is always yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I was telling Hayden and Hollis the other day, I'm like, for me, at least my perspective on this is like going from the horse to the car. Like, this for your generation right now, you have got to be involved here. You're going to be cruising down the street on a horse when there are cars all around you. And they agreed. It's really, really serious. But not only is it online now, but now it's when you're on the phone, it's so sophisticated. You're not exactly sure if you're talking to a human or not. And it's frustrating. Hey, Cass.
Hey, that's what I hate. hate about AI, because I feel like they should disclose if it's a person mm-hmm. or a computer. And that happened to me recently. So I reached out to like a vendor for some help with some work stuff. A project I was working on. And this guy emails me back. And you know how people sometimes have like their picture in their signature, especially at big companies or what have you. And I look at him and I'm like, oh my God, did I just find Abby's future husband? I mean, he's blonde, but he is hella attractive. And that caught me off guard because I'm like, wait a minute. No human actually looks like this. And it was I felt like one of those AI photos that walked the line between realistic, but something was just kind of off about it. You know what I mean? My senses were pinging. So I'm like, hang on a second. So I typed this man's name into LinkedIn. And there he is again, but same profile photo. And his like LinkedIn resume is perfect, right? And I'm like, this is not tracking for a 20-year-old white frat boy. Like, okay. So then I investigate the company and I go look at other people at the company. Various people, but with that same background. And they all just look like perfect people. Like if you were to describe what a human looks like to an alien, this is what it would spit out. But in our correspondence, it's not like overly AI, but everything was perfect. The grammar was perfect, which I love. But I'm just like, this is not tracking right with me. Nobody talks like this. Nobody is as perfect as me. Like I'm AI, okay? I'm a human AI and I am detecting other AI. But I think at the end of the day, like when we were talking and hashing out this deal, I was like, well, you know what? Everything's going fine. He's responding quickly. The deliverables are there. So does it really matter if the person you're talking to or emailing with is actually AI or human if the job is getting done the same way? And I just feel some kind of way that I want to know if I'm talking to AI because I feel like an absolute fool.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters if the job is getting done. I was watching a video yesterday of a girl on Instagram and she's like, it's here now. AI can find you a restaurant and it's making the reservation for you. She had both of her hands up. She put in the prompt, which was, hey, I want to be in some neighborhood in New York City. I need a 6 o'clock reservation. Puts her hands up and AI does the entire thing. We're watching it on her screen that AI is going to Yelp. It is giving her suggestions, but it's also clicking on the reservation and it makes the reservation for her. So what difference would that make if it was yours, AI, or somebody else?
Well, I think the thing is, you know, that's AI. Like, you know, you're going to ChatGPT or whoever you're using. And so sitting here, you know, if you've got like your Google Pixel phone and you bring up an AI assistant, then okay, Gemini, make me a reservation. That's fine. But if you're emailing and you think it's a human being and you're talking to them and later you find out it's AI, and it also, you know what it really is? It feels false, like a company is putting up a front. We hired employees, but it's actually chatbots doing the work. And I think that is a decision people should be able to make on their own. If I want to go to ChatGPT, I will do that. But if I'm reaching out to a human company, I want a human.
Well, you know, there was an incident with a company and it was AI that was doing like reading through the resumes and doing the hiring. Mm-hmm. And it was a cluster. Like it did not bode well for this company. But Abby, did you at any point in time, like in the email correspondence, be like, hey, just curious, picking up an AI vibe here, are you a real person or are you AI?
I didn't, because that is also, could you imagine if someone emailed you and asked you that? I would be so insulted. I can call myself AI, but if someone's like, the way you speak seems so fake, I don't think you're human. Well, humanity's lacking.
If it's actually AI, do you think that's like offensive to the chatbot? Like, how dare, like, if it's actually an AI little bot, are they like, how dare you pick up on that? Like, it's, it'd
they
be
have
like
emotions now.
Yeah, know what I mean? Like, do you think you're gonna upset the AI and they're gonna come after us?
I don't want to upset the AI. I'm with you on that.
I'd say no now, but in a couple of years,
I'm with you.
That would be concerning.
That's, why concerning. I say please and thank you.
The Burt Show.
Man, there are some milestones in life that you cross, and you know you've crossed them because your body feels every second of it. Things you used to be at 21 years old, going out, waking up the next morning, doing it all over again, drinking all day. Those days are over, right? And I think most feeling it right now.
Your hangovers lasted like 30 minutes in your 20s.
Yes.
Now they last 3 freaking days.
Used to wake up, go right to work like nothing happened.
Right?
Not anymore. Now I need a weekend, man. And it doesn't help with these gout flare-ups. And I am officially having, I think this is now my third flare-up. And the scariest part of it is it's not the bad leg. It's my good foot.
Oh, no.
Good foot started flaring up. And, of course, I come into work yesterday after I get this first flare-up and the service elevator is out of order.
Are you serious?
Yep. You're being tested right now.
Second time that happened, the first flare-up I had, the service elevator was out of order.
And so just so people know, we're on the fifth floor.
Right. So I either have to take the stairs to get all the way to the front elevator or I have to walk all the way around. Either way, with a flare-up, it's not a good time.
And just as a quick recap, because I think people have heard the word gout, but they're not exactly sure what it is.
It's an attack of your joints. So it literally feels, if you can imagine anywhere where you have joints, I mean your ankles, your foot, your knee, your wrist, it just literally feels like something is just constantly stabbing at your joints wherever your joints are being attacked. And it's top three, I would say, most painful things I've experienced. It's rough. And I didn't know, the thing about the first two flare-ups is I wasn't sure what I'd done. This one, I'm pretty sure. I think.
Was it the dancing with a bull?
It was either the dancing with the bull, the drinking, or the walking. It could have also been the walking, because we did a lot of tours where we were going in, up to like the mountains, and that was like one of the best parts of Ecuador, is the views, the mountains, and the spas, all of these things that you would want to do. A lot of them are on the mountains. So in order to get there, you have to walk a certain amount of time in order to get to where they can now drive you. And I started to feel it whenever the walk was going uphill. And I get there Wednesday night. And the whole time, my thought process was, don't embarrass my lady in front of her family. Don't get killed by the bull. I had two goals. That's it. As long as I can figure that out, I'm fine.
Decent goals, man.
Yeah. So Wednesday night, I kind of had an idea of what this was going to look like. Because when we landed, it was late, but it wasn't that late. It was like maybe 8 or 9. Normally, when I get, like, if I land with my family at that time, everybody's drinking. But I noticed that her family wasn't. And everyone was sitting at the bar, and there's alcohol everywhere, but no one is drinking.
Weirdos. So
I thought that was odd. Thought it was odd. Everybody's on vacation. It's the first night. You're welcoming people. And then her nephews, I asked them, I said, why is nobody drinking? Is there a reason? Like, I don't even want to ask for it. She was like, trust me. These next 3 days that are lined up,
okay,
you don't want to start now.
So this is like the pace lap right here.
Exactly.
Okay, get the water in you, carb up, let's go.
That's what he told me. Make sure you get your vitamins together. You do not, don't start now, because you are going to drink more than you have ever drunk in your life. I'm thinking, nah, not me. He was right.
Yeah.
It's nonstop.
Don't mess with South America.
Nah, man. It was literally every single night. And it was funny because Friday night, I guess, was the warm-up to the warm-up night. No, Thursday night was the warm-up to the warm-up night, because all of her family came over, and that's the day that everybody got there, and they have this really big, nice house in Ecuador, and they started drinking at about, I'd say, maybe 6, 7 o'clock, and didn't stop till probably 2, 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it's just music, it's drinking, it's going, it's cheers after cheers. Like, as soon as this person has a reason to cheers, 2 minutes later, that person has a reason to cheers. The drinks are up again. Somebody's constantly offering you something. And if you've ever been to South America, it feels rude to say no. So you feel like you should take it. So Thursday night was enough for me. Like, after Thursday, I was ready to go. Friday night, now mind you, the main event is Saturday night. That's what we're trying to make it to. I'm trying to make it to Saturday night to have the mass and to dance with the bull.
It's like you're sprinting as fast as you can during a marathon.
Yes.
And you're done in the first quarter mile, and you still have 26 miles left to go.
Exactly that. So Friday comes, and I'm like, all right, we're trying to somewhat recover from Thursday night. So I'm thinking maybe Friday night is going to be a lighter night. In the daytime, mind you, you're not resting in the daytime. We're doing all types of tours. We're going to see the Ecuadorian swing. We're going to the equator, where you can be in the northern and southern hemisphere at the same exact time, which was really cool, because they had this this egg balancing competition where they say it's like impossible to balance an egg because of the atmosphere. And I told them, get me a bear. I balanced that egg.
Hey,
I balanced the egg. Right, I balanced the egg. Right. They were really impressed by that, actually. So then, of course, we had to celebrate. So we went to start drinking.
Yeah.
Right? And you start drinking in. So then I'm like, so what are we doing Friday night, you know, to kind of prepare for a Saturday? And they're like, we got a party bus coming. I'm like, wait, what? So, like, yeah, it's a party bus coming. It'll be in about an hour or two.
Is there a party ambulance behind it?
I would hope so, right? So the funny thing is, the party bus, quote unquote, pulls up. We're outside waiting for it. And it's more like a party van. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a bit smaller, but it's open, and it has a DJ in it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, when it pulled up, I'm like, it's going to be fun. But it wasn't really a lot of seats. It's like maybe enough space for four people to sit down. But I'm thinking, okay, who's probably going to be 20 of us, you know, having a good time on this party van that's going to drive you around Ecuador for 2 hours? No, it's about 60, 70 people on this thing.
Whoa, what?
And I mean, there was like no space. It's standing room only. Everybody is in it. Like, you family in there. You are definitely family. And the DJ is rocking and everybody's having the time of their life. I mean, her grandmother, her mom, if you in your 70s, did not matter. They are standing the whole time, having drinks, turning it up, driving all around Ecuador. That was Friday night. That wasn't even the night. And we did that. We got off of that. I thought we were done. Nope. Going to the club. Went to the club from there. Stayed in the club until about 2 or 3. It was at one point they came over and asked me if I was okay because I was just kind of at the table like with my head down. I was perfectly fine. I was just tired. Yeah. I needed a minute, right? And then you wake up from there. We woke up and I think I woke up at about 10-ish and we went to brunch at that point. And then right after that, we had to go direct our way to get to the Mass because the Mass was about an hour or so away. And then, like I said, at the Mass, we started drinking at 2. You don't stop until 10. That's you dancing with bulls as you're drinking. And then when we left there, you guessed it, to another club. Wow. And we had to do it again. And I woke up Sunday morning at like 5 in the morning and had to catch my flight.
And, I mean, obviously, you dance with the bulls, so you got to celebrate. So, of course, out of all the nights, even though you'd already had a hard night Thursday and Friday, did you drink the most on Saturday night?
Absolutely. Yeah,
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this question. I briefly asked you it off the air the other day, right? Because part of the gout thing, they've told you, you got to cut back on your drinking. Mm-hmm. But clearly on this weekend, not possible. So I remember, and this is a totally different situation than you, I had a terrible discipline problem when it came to alcohol. And the hangovers were lasting longer and longer and longer. And I couldn't do it myself, man. I didn't have the discipline. So I used to literally pray to the heavens that when I went to the doctor, they would tell me I was allergic to alcohol, so I couldn't drink it anymore. That would have done it for me, right? But they never did, dang it. So let me ask you this question. What would it take for you to completely give up alcohol now? Because when you're drinking, it's jacking up both of those feet of yours now.
Right.
So what would have to happen for you to go, I'm just never going to have a sip ever again?
Man, I've had that conversation with myself a few times over the last week or so. And I think my issue lies in two places from what I've learned. It's vacations and it's celebrations. Like, outside of that, I cannot drink. No problem. Mm-hmm. If I'm here, I'm not drinking. Before we went to Ecuador, I wasn't drinking. But when I'm either on a vacation or if we have a reason to celebrate, it is very difficult for me to have everybody around me drinking and to just not have one.
Right.
Because when I went out there, I said, I'm going to drink one day. I didn't drink one day.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I wanted to ask this question right now. I almost asked it to Mo earlier this morning. So I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, I get into this weird fender bender, totally, completely my fault. And as I'm turning left, I pulled a corner too sharply and I ended up hitting a car that was coming up a ramp. Totally, completely my fault. Good news is I hit a listener. He's fine. It was very cool. Hey, Max, what's up, my man? Yeah. But I must have been holding the steering wheel in just a weird way where I jammed my hands and wrists into the steering wheel, right? So my left one's a little cut up, but my right one is still super sore, right? Like, I can't get full mobility out of it yet. I'm lifting really light in the gym when I'm trying to use it and stuff. So now we're what? A week and a half, 2 weeks out from my accident, I came in here and I was asking Mo, how long would you wait before you go see the doctor about it? And I want to ask Kristen and Abby and Jackson the same question, because I'm assuming the answers are going to be different for dudes than they're going to be for women. Okay.
All right, you asking the dudes first.
So I'm 2 weeks in now, and I'm just assuming, like, if I go to a doctor, they're going to take my money, and they're going to tell me, it's nothing we can do about it, dude. It's just, you're going to have to relax, stay out of the gym, ice it, put one of these wrist dealy deals on there to keep it straight. I don't want to go through all that. So I want to tell you what's in my mind. Mo, you first.
All right, so I'll give you an example of how long I would wait, because I'm not going to lie. I've kind of always had that old school mentality of the body heals itself, because like you just said, the doctors, what is the doctor going
right.
to do? Wrap it, put some ice on it, don't use it, and then it'll heal. I broke my wrist twice, once playing football, once boxing, when I was fresh out of college. And every once in a while for the last 10 years, I'll start to get this sharp pain in that wrist. And I have not gone to see a doctor for it in that decade. So
10 years. But it's not there every single day. If the pain, and mine is there every day, if the pain was there every day, how long would you wait to go see a doctor?
Every day? Probably a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would probably never go.
Never. Even if it's bothering you every single day, you would never go.
Yeah, I tweaked my back about a month and a half ago, and it's never gotten better, and I've just kept on keeping on, you know? Advil works wonders. My dad's a doctor, and we were never in the camp of going to the doctor whenever I got sick or anything happened to me as a kid. Like, whenever kids would be sick and their parents would take them to the doctor, I would always ask why, because that was such a foreign concept to me. And so, yeah, no, I just wouldn't go.
All right, let's see if my unsaid theory holds true. Abby, if this happened to you, how long before you go to a doctor?
I think it just kind of depends on how much it's impeding on my life. Because if it feels like it's getting better, like, okay, like my wrist hurts today, but it's a little bit better tomorrow, and there's kind of this upward progression, I'm probably going to avoid it. But if it's like really hindering me from doing my workouts or like typing on my computer, I'm going that day.
Christine.
So the first thing I would do is go to Google and ask.
Okay.
Which I just did, and I have my answer here. And then the second thing I would do, so this is like persistent pain, right? It's not getting better. It's not getting worse. It's constantly, and so it's there.
I can feel it while we're talking right now. When I'm on my computer, every time I'm using it, I can feel it in the thumb and the wrist.
Yep. So I'd go to Google first, and then I would hit up my friend's fiance, who's an orthopedic surgeon, and his specialty is like arms and everything in the arm.
Now, how long after the accident or the pain are you doing this? The same day?
No, not the same day, but it would be a couple days after.
Okay.
I'd hit up Jay and ask him and get his like expert opinion. And then from what I've read on Google and probably what he would say, within a few days, I would be at the doctor's office.
Okay. Just to round this thing out, I have no intention of going to the doctor.
Oh my God.
Ever.
If it's not impeding what I need to do in life, yeah, we all good. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
All right, so the price of lemonade is skyrocketing and Jackson's not having it.
It's not the lemonade that you'd find at the stores. It's the lemonade that you find at the good old neighborhood lemonade stand. And let me tell you, these things have gotten out of control, not only in the prices, but also what they sell. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that today would be an apt time to play the game. The lemonade stand, Price is Right. This is going to work like your regular Price is Right rules. I'm going to give you a description of what it is that they're selling, and you guys are going to guess on how much they were charging.
Okay. All right.
First up, we have the one thing that pessimists hate to make the most when life gives them lemons, and that, of course, is lemonade. This miraculous cup of watered-down sugar lemon water is still somehow tart enough to make you pucker just as much coming out as it did going in. The quintessential product for any lemonade stand, because what's a lemonade stand without terrible lemonade?
And again, do you know who is selling this, or were these just strange kids?
No, this was my little cousins, stressing their entrepreneurial spirit.
And how old are they?
They're like 3, 5, 7.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a spike.
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately not.
What neighborhood you live in? Yeah. 5-year-old selling you a Tito's and lemonade.
I grew up in rough places, my brother.
Okay. They're like, do you want the regular or do you want Mike's?
Yeah.
3, 5, 7. I got it. 25 cents max.
I'm going to say a buck.
That's what I was going to say. So I'll go 101.
Oh no. They're charging at least $2.50. Jackson comes from those fancy suburbs.
We've got $5 for one cup, $8 for two. What a deal.
How big is the cup?
Standard 12 ounces.
No. Come in like a souvenir cup or something. Yeah.
So now I got more questions. Is this like legit from scratch? Like they squeeze lemons and they put the sugar there? Or is this like the country living packet or whatever it is?
They better have flown to Hawaii and gotten pure cane sugar to put in that thing.
I have no idea.
The break?
the Braves better be playing in their backyard.
Yeah, these are Disney prices.
If the Braves are playing right now, I'd pay less. Sorry, guys.
All right, next up, we have a homemade bracelet.
Aww.
Okay.
Oh, look at that.
These unique, one-of-a-kind tri-colored bracelets come with a small charm that is sure to make even Cleopatra jealous. While these bracelets would have even the keenest eye thinking it's a Van Cleef, with prices like these, you are better off calling these children Van Thiefs, because I was swindled into purchasing one. Choice of color or charm not included. That's right, they handed me this and I purchased it.
You didn't even get to negotiate.
Wow.
What's it made out of? I mean, we really need to know here.
I feel like these are like rubber bands. I don't know.
Yeah, they're rubber bands.
Rubber okay. bands.
And it's got a little plastic taco shell on it.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
The rest of America should work the same way. They just give it to you, throw it in your hands, and now you got
to get what you get.
Okay.
Well, if the lemonade is going for $5 a glass, I'm going to say they charged you $10 for this.
This is a 3, a 5, and a 7-year-old.
$7.
I'm going $14.99.
$10 and a penny.
$10 right on the nose.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. Well, I mean, they're not going to make change. Wait.
Right.
When you did give them money, were they also expecting tip?
I never got any change.
iPad, they flipped it over. They're like, it's just going to ask you one question real quick.
$10. All I got is 20. That'll work.
You got to school them that they have to charge $9.99 because it seems so cheaper than 10.
And also, you know, because we have become such a cashless society. Did they have like Venmo capabilities and like
Apple Pay?
I'm sure they did. I paid in cash though.
Oh, okay.
If they did, they're going places.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely right. All right, we've got two more. Actually, their whole stand was actually labeled as a plant sale, not as a lemonade stand. These are just other things. So next up, we have
a plant sale.
Yes, plant.
Okay, now that would get my attention.
Were they digging stuff out of their parents' yard?
No. Funny you should say that, Bert, though, because these are various potted plants. This wide variety of fabulous fauna is sure to turn any countertop space into the jungle of your dreams. While I personally can't remember the last time I bought a plant that wasn't intended to be put into my lungs, the only thing these will be getting you feeling is high on life.
$15 as we're climbing up the tree.
$20.
I'm going to go $17.99.
I feel like this is where you're going to trick us. I think the plants cost the same as the bracelets. I'm going $10, Bob.
Christian, you are on a roll because they are exactly $10.
Whoa. Good for you.
It's like I got a 4-year-old.
All right, we've got one more.
This is so funny.
And it's going to be a hot dog.
Ooh.
Oh, hot dog. What kind of hot dog?
Okay, just a standard issue hot dog.
Ballpark.
All right.
They can call it a glizzy.
A glizzy.
What is that?
I don't know about a glizzy.
What is it?
That's what they call hot dogs now.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I'm old, man.
I'm a known glizzy gobbler.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
You okay? You're admitting this.
I frequent the glizzy.
How many glizzies do you think you can gobble in one sitting?
Oh, my God.
Probably five.
Five.
You have five?
No, not the standard. She said, how many do you think you could? Not on standard issue.
Okay.
And a glizzy is just a standard hot dog now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And funny we're talking about that because we are talking about one of God's greatest gifts to mankind right here, the one and only All-American Hot Dog, otherwise known as a ballpark Frank, glizzy, tube steak, or my personal own favorite moniker, the pork missile.
Oh, my God.
I've never heard the pork missile before.
Things that sound dirty that are.
Exactly. That's the point.
This delightfully delicious dose of meat delivery decadence had an optional spread of condiments, including ketchup, mustard, and or relish to be included on top or on the side. How much was one beloved pork missile?
$3 for the glizzy.
I'm gonna go $6 for the pork missile.
Oh man, this lemonade stand is like the Cheesecake Factory. It's like the menu that never ends. There's just all kinds of random stuff.
That pressure on you. You've been on the road.
I know, man. And I'm sitting here thinking. I'm going to go bold for this because it's the hot dog, it's the bun, it's the condiments, like it's a lot. So I am going to say $20.
What?
Wow. Just because I like saying the words pork missile, I'll go with $10.
All of you guys are wrong because they were free.
Free pork missiles?
Their father was grilling hot dogs and I screamed and asked for one. He handed it to me through the window.
See, they're like a drug dealer. That's the gateway drug.
Yes,
the glizzy gateway.
Now the bracelet is worth it.
The Burt Show.